We call this meeting to order for the Downtown Advisory Board on April 25th, 2019. Roll call. Ed Whipple.
Here.
Vincenzo Barrio.
Here.
Hillary Banks. Not here. Maria Palacio. Not here yet. Brad Compton.
Here.
Scott McCloud.
Here.
Chip Conrad. Not here. Dana Buchtabin.
Present.
And Lori Millman.
Here.
All right. Thank you. Why didn't you say I'm here to present?
Aaron's here.
Yeah.
Aaron's here.
Because, you know, you might not know who's talking.
The vice chair should always make sure you're here.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, approval of the agenda.
I think it's a wonderful agenda I move to approve.
I'll second that.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Say no. All right, approved. And approval of the minutes. Everybody have a chance to look at those?
I think they're wonderful minutes I move to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Random abstention, I was not sure.
Fair enough. Okay, public comment. Anybody wishing to address the board with a matter that's not on the agenda? A few folks here. Okay, thank you. Moving on to action items. Oh, yeah, good idea. So before we do action items, I'd like to introduce Scott McCloud to everyone.
Yay!
Hey, Scott!
New board member, does anybody know anything about Scott?
Absolutely not.
Tell us. Backwards introduction.
Actually, my brother and sister and I have the great group.
Oh, right, we did the tour.
Yes.
Hello!
I know, hey, I'm there now. Come back. It's all there. I got shorts on.
How long has that building, hasn't that building been in your family?
My great-grandfather bought a quarter share of that building in 1904.
So, pretty cool. Family history here in downtown?
Yeah, thank you for building that up again. It's really exciting.
Yeah, we're excited about the way it finished.
Yeah, good.
One more tenant. We need one more tenant.
Where's the donuts?
I know, when's the donut? Yeah, that's the real question.
I talked with Mark this morning and he believes he'll be open on the 1st.
Of June?
May.
Cool.
He said the 25th today. I had on my calendar when we ran into him.
Like today?
But he and his dad are enjoying themselves and have the Davis space.
Okay. So Scott, do you know everybody or would there be a benefit to you with everybody introducing themselves and saying a bit about?
I know some and I can read name tags. If they're going to tell me something real interesting, that'll stick.
We'll just go around. Yeah. I'm Vincenzo Barrio. I'm the founding artistic director of Enlightened Theatrics at Salem's Historic Grand Theater. So we're musicals and plays and theatrical education.
Good.
Yeah.
Ed Whipple of Willamette University.
Did you go to South?
Yeah. Did you?
No, I didn't. Oh. I went to North and we needed visas to pass 12th Street on.
You were a part of that.
Dana Buchtabin, head curmudgeon, Salem Cinema.
Brad Compton, Pioneer Trust.
Lori Miller, Equitable Center.
Interpreting with CD2, we've been working with Scott for a few years. Cool. Well, yeah. Welcome, Scott. We're excited to have you.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Action. Okay. I don't know how to set this up. Does the DAB support a downtown forum to have conversations with business owners and residents? Go ahead.
Yeah. So we had a meeting, Aaron and I had a meeting with the mayor last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, to discuss the parking, implementing some sort of paid parking in the hot spots of the downtown area. We had a great conversation, and basically what came down to was we need to set up, so if we want to do this, we need to set up some kind of forum. That is inclusive of all the business owners, of all the residents and just having a conversation to start. And so our, as you can see, is the action item is seeing kind of where the Downtown Advisory Board feels on that too, does everyone feel strong enough to kind of be a part of that? Or is it something that there's more conversation to be had?
And the discussion was quickly, the mayor kind of pointed us to, you know, all the issues, and parking is one issue among many, like homelessness, for example,
right.
Is a really huge issue right now, and how the city might help with that. And I say the city, like, and under our, you know, the Downtown Advisory Board making recommendations to the council as to how the city might go about those things. Well, before we just, you know, start, you know, discussing it here, wouldn't it be a good idea to, and Vincenzo's a big advocate of this, just have a conversation to let, you know, the people who are paying the downtown URA taxes and parking taxes have a chance to say what they think, and maybe even say, yeah, you know, homelessness is more important than, I don't know, any number of issues that we talk about downtown. I mean, we talk about, you know, our budgets, and we talk about things like, are we going to fund hanging baskets, or are we going to fund marketing and other items? Well, there's another sort of discussion that I think we're doing the best we can to represent downtown businesses and residents, but now seems like a good time to sort of, not necessarily pause, but like Vincenzo said, maybe host kind of like a forum that maybe Vincenzo and I or others, if we form like a committee or something, would sort of lead that, facilitate a discussion, pick a location, pick a time, try to get the word out.
And I think that the big thing about this too is the transparency, is wanting to help our community understand as much as possible how our community is run and how it works. And I think that understanding that we are this council that helps, we're this board that helps kind of give offers to the council. There's just little things of, you know, what I've kind of been saying about like that marketing or making sure that we're visible to, yeah, transparent, we're visible to our community members so they do know that they can talk to us, that they do know that they can say things or come into a meeting or discuss kind of issues. And I don't know, I just think of it more of a transparency, communication kind of thing.
I mean, we talked about the fact that there may be any number of, you know, items or issues on our agenda that, you know, random person A, random person B happens to care a lot about, but they're either not going to find the agenda ahead of time at one of our meetings, or just not happen to be available that day or whatever, or they're not going to come to every meeting and sit through stuff they don't care about. But this would give them an opportunity to come and say, you know, I really care about this, and we can, I think that will help us inform, you know, how we make decisions going forward. So.
And I think, too, with that is that us creating some sort of PowerPoint, some sort of informational, you know, it's not just a conversation, but explaining what it is we do and why we need their input and their help to be able to make sure that we're making justified suggestions and advice, and, you know, and I think that if we have a way of, you know, just making that really clear, like, this is what we do in these meetings, and this is what we need from you all to make sure that we're doing it the right way.
Kristen, did you have?
Yeah, so for those of you that haven't met yet, I'm Kristen Rutherford, I'm the Urban Development Director. So just speaking about the staffing side of this and where we may be able to help if this is the direction that you would like to go. Some of you, not all of you, were on the board about 3 years ago when we did the focus groups and we looked at the action plan. I think that this could be a great opportunity to update the community about the action plan, the focus groups, and you know, I mean, city government looks like, you know, stats and plans, right? And how often do we go back out and update the community about how we're implementing those plans? So there are projects that are underway tied to the mobility plan, and we've got, you know, bike ped projects that are implemented. And then through the focus groups and that action plan, you know, the priorities that came out of that were streetscape. We provide the streetscape update, and that was just adopted.
Yeah.
There was, one of the priorities was continuing the grant program, and there's so much fabulous investment and activity using that grant program that we could update the community about. And opportunity purchases were another one, so we could provide updates on the property across the street that we're acquiring. And so I think those could all be sort of, you know, key pillars of that conversation.
So it's more fun to
celebrate. Right, right. Yeah, so we're sharing, like, this is what we were asked to do 3 years ago, you know, and here's how we've been implementing it and where we are now. And we're really starting to see, I mean, basically from the ground up within construction, the results of that effort.
I would suggest something that says, did you know?
Yeah, right.
And then that there's money available if you are in the downtown area, that this is available, that they are doing this, that you can come. Uh-huh. You know, something simple and big. Did you know? You know, because the truth of the matter is that many people don't know. Uh-huh. In, yeah. Even in the downtown area, right. You know, that again, because we are all busy taking care of our business. It's not that we don't want to, it's that,
right.
You know, there's just way too much going on and all these papers come in and, you know, the
so
truth
it's trying
is...
trying to make it easier.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think something like that, maybe in a billboard or in like the Chamber of Commerce, that they have this thing that keeps popping, some different things, you know, that says, did you know? And just some basic big things that people will say, oh, you know, that there's this help that you can come and ask, mm-hmm. You know, that we are here, that we represent you,
yeah.
That we are small business people, that you are too, you know, things like that. I think
absolutely.
That would be something I would suggest.
Did you have something,
David? No, I'm just listening.
Okay. You moved your name. Oh yeah, let the record show that Maria Blasio is here.
Just in case they didn't hear me. I have the voice of a teacher, so projection.
She's here.
I do project.
So, you know, we brought this, you know, to basically get input from the greater board to see if you guys think this is a good idea. Maria has spoken up. Anybody else? Thoughts?
As long as we have a specific agenda, yeah. Is this going to be like an open forum where anything goes, we'll talk about anything, or obviously the information sharing about what's available and updates, as Christian mentioned, is a good idea. Now, I think we do have a responsibility to the constituency in the downtown area, so we allude that we represent them, but do we really represent them?
Uh-huh.
And so I think that's a good idea. So I don't necessarily have a specific agenda whether or not I want to advance paid parking in downtown yet, but or how much more we can take on about solving homelessness. We've already shown that a task force took a long time, and we're still a long time in implementing all those things, and some of it's subject to availability of funds in the general fund. And what specifically could we identify that could be funded through the URA or the parking district has very limited funds today, which is
right.
So maybe the prelude why we might consider more paid parking than downtown is how to fund things that our constituency would like to see. I'm in favor. I move that we do so, as presented here.
Yeah, what we would need to make a motion to ask for staff to spend.
I thought that was part B.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that was clear to everyone. Yeah.
Maybe Do we know how much more than 1 hour staff time is? Because I know there are rules about this. And then what does that do to our indirect cost allocation?
What would be helpful, I think, in response to what Dana is saying, and if you could find a way to get that out of this action item, is what is the goal? What's the goal? Because if you don't have a goal, then what Dana is saying, we could lose control very easily of a very positive thing that we wanted to do and have certain passions or certain interests take over. So I think as a board, if you could talk a little bit about the goal, and I heard one, education.
Yeah.
And I think that's very important. So I think one goal would be education as far as what the Downtown Advisory Board's roles and responsibilities are, letting them know what our accomplishments are and what the key projects are that we're working on. And the process, if you want to, as to how those projects were identified as priorities. But the piece then, as far as what you would like to get from them, you can share how you would use what input. We have a budget process,
right.
Tying in that, you know, especially with the parking fund, and I think that's where the challenge is. It's easy with URA. It's a little bit more difficult with the parking fund. We've had challenges. The consequence is we're not going to have flower baskets this year. You know, do we want them to take a look at the things that, you know, we're challenged with and give us some input on, if you had to choose, you know, we continue to choose police, keeping things clean in downtown, but there's very little money to go to some economic and promotion and the things that you're talking about. So it would be helpful for staff. And I think just for the whole transparency of how we move this forward, if you could talk some more about the goal. Because I think it's very easy for Urban Renewal for me to sit here and think about how we would work that out, how we would educate. I think it's not quite exactly the same story on the parking fund.
Absolutely. And I think that just from this conversation, I mean, there's already kind of a structure that, even from what you've said, from what Kristen said. And so really, it's, you know, and this is just the first conversation to just see what you all think about it, because then obviously Aaron and I will create a draft, create some kind of, this is how we would want it to be before we even set a date or say anything. It's like, we'll present it to everyone. This is how we would like to present it to our community. What do you all think? And then we pick the date and we pick the...
Make some revisions.
Yes, and we make revisions and then we say, okay, but this is a good, this is where we're going, let's set a date. That's kind of my thought process on the process.
Yeah, I would imagine in my mind, whether it's just Vincenzo and I or if anyone else wants to sort of spend a little bit of time with us coming up with that draft agenda, brainstorming ideas about what you know, like what Kristen was outlining, you know, accomplishments or achievements or sort of the celebrating part. I would see it as probably the informing part of, like Maria said, a lot of people, they probably don't even know the distinction between parking fund and URA,
right?
Or the distinction between the Downtown Advisory Board and the Agency Board, Council or what, like, so there's an informed part that's kind of like the basic structure of some of this stuff that is separate from the accomplishments part. So I think there's two sort of pieces to the inform. One is like helping people understand what's even going on here, and then two, and within the structure, look at all the good things we've done, and then the third part would be, you know, maybe there's a aspect of like PowerPoint presentation on all this, and then the third part is maybe if we're at like table groups or at, you know, depending on how, where we're at and how it's set up, we could either ask people, you know, real specific questions where the point is we have to make decisions between things,
but
you know, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I figure if we create an outline And then we meet with Cherie, we meet with Kristen separately to like just fill in what exactly the specifics are, like what has been updated, what what Cherie can provide in terms of like the, how the money is spent and all that stuff. Like I said, I feel like we have a nice kind of...
As far as the staff time, like I think I could volunteer to at least do a draft version of a PowerPoint. I could put that together if that helps. I would have to, you know, get, so get nuggets of information from you. So I'd probably ask a lot of questions.
For me, the reason why it's in the agenda is because it just needs to be consensus. It's not so much that I wouldn't be there for you. It's just that in addition to the board wanting to move forward with this, the board needs to also be in agreement that that they want me to spend that time with you. Not so much that I can't do your PowerPoint or give you everything you need, because, but it's just that not two people or three people saying do this as staff. It's what the board wants. The board agrees that that's how you would like me to support you at this time. I'm gonna try to bring you back to what I was hoping to get. I think that I agree with both of you as far as the outline and the date and all of that. We could easily do that in a subcommittee. It's that what you want to achieve with it that is going to guide that next level of conversation.
Right.
And that's what would be helpful today. Or I meet with Vincenzo and Aaron and we can come back with some options for the goals for the meeting, and we'll present it that way. And again, I don't mean to take that away from you, but we can do that too. If it feels like
Yeah, I don't want you guys to have to agree to something that we haven't created. It's just my ideas coming out. So no, I think that that makes perfect sense, that we'll have some meeting, and then the next one we can present kind of an idea.
Ed, did you have something?
Yeah, I'm just going to say, having sat through a two-hour one of these last night at the university, you know, I think it's just really critical that you only have two or three outcomes. You can do a handout with a lot of informational stuff that will not take up the time.
Yeah.
And the facilitator who is ever facilitating this, it's really critical. These things can take off on their own and get out of control. And I would suggest putting a time limit. It's only an hour forum or 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Because sometimes these things, I'm sure you've sat through them, have drug on for 3 or 4 hours and people get off on tangents. But who's ever facilitating has got to have hold of and move it along.
Okay.
That's just having sat through some ones that have not been very well run.
Yeah, but then leave the, so that people have a way to communicate
yeah.
further with us, you know.
Yeah. After the meeting.
Right.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And press that as that's your forum to really get us the details.
Yes. Like we're here to make sure you know who we are, and now you do.
And then come tell us.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yeah. That's why it's like forum might not be the right word right now. You know, it might be just a presentation that then we ask like a question or two, mm-hmm. let that mill and I think that we should have another meeting before.
Yeah, this is all good input.
Yeah,
I mean, this is really just an idea in its infancy. So, yeah, please, thank you.
The board loses nothing by doing this,
right.
But by not doing it, there could be
exactly
concerns about what we're doing.
Dana?
I'm just curious what prototypical staff time might be for preparation for a one-hour community meeting. with limited objectives, let's say there's an educational objective, here's what the DAB does, this is the process it is, and here's a quick update of key projects that are in process or that are happening, and then perhaps the next topic or whatever that may be is we're soliciting ideas how to better fund the activities within the downtown parking district.
Yeah.
I don't know, that's a leading question, I know. It says, Is, do not maintain structures, or do you implement paid parking, or you solicit the council to change the city statute about how much you can advance the parking tax?
So there's the information sharing component, and then there's the ask component of whatever input that you want to get. Not all of that, as you were saying, has to occur right at the meeting. That can be a follow-up ask, or it can be an early information sharing. Or getting the highlights, you know, that during the meeting. I would say, in terms of the amount of staff time, I would guess 8 to 16 hours because of things like finding the venue and making the arrangements and getting the promotional material out there and notifying people. Probably ballpark around that.
Thank you.
And I'm going to just add on to that I see some, and we're not on the item, but, you know, we're inviting the chamber. Tom's going to come in at our main meeting because we wanted to, part of what we talked about, I don't know if everybody was here that one day we were having a conversation, but we wanted to let the chamber know who we are, build a better relationship with the chamber. So, you know, when I look at the list of the things that when it came up on that line item, we're pretty much hitting all the things that I thought you would probably want to share as far as what we're doing, the statistics on our grant. So we're overlapping quite a bit on the information piece. It wouldn't be as, but very much alignments. When we bring Tom in, we're gonna wanna share with him what we do, who we are, our key projects. And so a lot of that is similar to what we're talking about we would do with the forum. So there's some efficiencies there for me. If I get it out for one, I'm gonna be getting it out for another one. And then, of course,
just that knowing that they're kind of have the skin in the game, too.
Well, I think there's some benefit to having what we're doing be consistent
right. In
how we're building these relationships or sharing information with the public. Mm-hmm. So I see some efficiencies there. And then I don't think, I know all of you and are always very generous when we have our committee meeting and we start looking at the outline and we need you, I know that those of you that can will be there for us. So that means a lot to me too, that I know that we could pull from the board too. But I see some efficiencies, but it does take more than you think because we have PR people that we then need to meet with and get the mailings out and put together usually the materials that, and if we're gonna gather information later, how we facilitate that. Is it online? You can do it. We have a comment card that night. You can fill it out and leave it. Those are the types of things that when we go to do like all the public meetings for the streetscape, you know, we had a consultant that did all that, but we can learn from everything ourselves from that. So sign-in sheets, all the other
Absolutely.
And I think I have no concern at all about committing the staff time for this. But what would be helpful to me to have from the board is clarity around that, the information that you do want to get out of it.
Yeah.
You know, and if it is parking related or, you know, whatever that information is. The more clear we can be from you on what you want to get and what you would like to accomplish, that will very much help us.
I feel like we talked about scheduling this. Is there any, would it be too late if we came back in our May meeting with a draft of that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, so scheduling, I'll just say from our past experience with events, now we're heading into summer.
Right.
And turnout is not great during the summer.
Right.
So we're really shooting for more like a September type
exactly,
time.
Yeah.
And that was going to be my question.
That was an initial thought.
September was a good time of year. You know, people are coming back.
Yes, they're getting back into their
routines.
Yeah, like ready to.
It lends itself nicely coming back in when you start planning the 2021 fiscal year.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of the initial thought, was that it would be after summer.
I move that we form a subcommittee to develop that draft and request the additional staff support to make that happen.
Okay. Very good. Do you have a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Lori. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, say no. All right. Thank you.
I just had Kevin's in our subcommittee.
Okay, information reports. Wes Salem.
I'm gonna sit at the head of the table, is that okay?
Yeah.
Rather than stand up and be formal about it.
Does everybody know Tori? He's.
Who?
For the last year.
Oh.
Advisory board, and we've been taking turns going and sharing information about what you are doing with their boards. I went to the Wes Salem advisory board meeting. They asked me.
We're taking turns.
They asked me a lot of questions. They asked me a lot of questions, but I got.
While you're downtown in the thick of it, curious, a lot of curiosity about downtown.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm Tori Baffert. I'm here with Sheree, coworker, Urban Development Department. So we have the Wes, I work with an advisory board, some of you guys, so thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to contribute to downtown. Similarly, we have a board of 11 members for the Wes Salem area, and that's this map over here. It's basically kind of the flat, you know, towards the south and the east is bordered by the Willamette. It's one of the newer urban renewal areas. It was established in 2001, so it hasn't had quite the history or the increment to do a lot of projects. They have done some projects, though, some multi-use path, Lost Marine Park, the west side of 2nd Street where the railroad used to go has been improved. So as that was getting completed and paid off, some of you guys, we went through an action plan process that wrapped up at the beginning of 2015. And it basically looked at the same thing, like the urban renewal plan goals, plans, objectives in the plan were revisited to see, you know, what has Public Works completed, what have we done, what are the priorities. And so what got flushed out of that was, you know, we've had some transitional businesses, some history in food processing in our kind of central where you have those big building footprints, bigger lot areas, some of the old rain sweet, Oregon fruit that were there for decades have vacated those spaces, moved to other, luckily, happily, other parts of Salem where they have easier access to I-5. So that's opened up some redevelopment potential going forward, so looked at those things. So in that middle section of our urban renewal area is kind of our industrial piece. So those food processors are moving out, leaving some redevelopment potential. And so we had this big, really two-thirds of our urban renewal area was looked at for city-initiated comp plan zone change, basically. So we had a whole mismatch, like a lot of varieties of zones in those areas. And so part of the action plan led to this recommendation to get that cleaned up in anticipation of these changes in future development. So we went through this year-long process that wrapped up about this time last year to change the comprehensive plan and the zone. So we have a lot, like our east side, east of Wallace, has a similar central business district zoning that you have downtown. So you could have zero lot line development potential, mixed use, much higher density. So in anticipation of where it could go, you know, there's a lot of support to make that happen. So with that, you know, obviously there'll be continued uses. So businesses are there now. You know, it's not, doesn't have the downtown feel yet of what you have down here. You know, obviously there's not going to be the historic component to it. You know, maybe as time goes and with the zoning designation we now have, we could get some big projects, you know, that could become that historical piece as we get decades out into the future. But it really was laying the groundwork for that type of development. So that's kind of one of the new things that got flushed out as a result of our action plan that we did. We have transportation challenges over there. Wallace Road is really kind of an obstacle. When we are focused on getting the community to be, you know, to get people from downtown Salem to get across to want to be in West Salem and get the people in West Salem area to stay, you know, in their respective downtown in West Salem. We're trying to get people, kind of remove that obstacle of Wallace Road and allow people to go east and west of Wallace to be in the district. So one of the major projects we're looking at is, you know, we've done the west side of 2nd Street, extending that through and going potentially, right now we're looking at going under Wallace basically like an undercrossing, if you will. I referenced the Kaiser Station. There are a lot of tight, you know, undercrossings that are over there. They're very modern, very open. So we'd have something similar to that that would basically wrap you around from the west side of, you know, Lost Road over to the east side. We'd link up to the Union Street, the pedestrian trail, and we carry a multi-use path on the south side all the way through. So you could potentially, you know, take your bike or whatever, walk over, ride your bike over, get down the west side and get to Edgewater. So that's kind of a big project, very expensive. So right now we went through a feasibility process, that got all checked off. Now we're aligning with the transportation system plan and getting funds in place to prepare for that. So we're looking at, you know, potentially like 8 to 10 years to get the money in place. And we wouldn't be able to fund it solely through urban renewal. We'd have to pair up with like public works, maybe state funds and other things. So that's a major project, take up a lot of resources. Similar to the downtown, we have a grant program where we don't have like that historic improvements. You know, we have to get the ADA and the elevators and some of the other really dense type of projects like that. Ours is pretty much converting, like, now that we have the zoning in place, encouraging that redevelopment. So you go from like maybe a single story building to entertain the idea of taking down that, you know, maybe acquiring multiple lots, taking out what was there, and building mixed use, you know, having a first mixed use type development in West Salem. We have had conversations along those lines. At first, we have a new development that we helped, similar to what you guys see when you have those blue signs that say, you know, City of Salem is invested in this project. We have those throughout West Salem where we contribute our grant. Our most visible one was on Glen Creek and Wallace, where there's that happened. Initially, that started out as a mixed use, and the neighborhood was a little hesitant. I think that's something that we're encountering is the change, you know, where you've had like a single low profile kind of neighborhood feel, and then all of a sudden you have this trend towards a downtown, and some people are, you know, a little hesitant to go that direction to, you know, have these buildings that could get up to like, you know, 50, 60 feet tall. So we're trying to balance that out as we do some of these projects, but there's potential for it. Some people are considering it. So we've helped out Chicha with another one where we converted Chicha Brewing. It's where owned old industrial space was vacant for a long time. So we got in there, helped do the environmental cleanup, prepare the space for like a brewing facility. And also, so if you, it's a great dining experience if you want to make your way over to West Salem. If you haven't done it yet, it's a fun place over there. And that's on Patterson. We have a clinic that's under construction now. Like a physical fitness rehabilitation clinic. We've had real estate offices that have been built over there. So a lot of, actually it's nice to see a lot of construction happening along Patterson. It's been something with potential that just hasn't been moving. So that's where, similar to the downtown grant, we've been able to pitch in and get some of these projects adding to the, you know, the real estate investment value over there. Yeah, so again, moving forward, we've got our zoning in place, really working with private entities to make that acquisition potential and realize that kind of downtown benefit that West End could have, and then working towards some of these, you know, Second Street and other connectivity improvements. Have to answer any questions you might have on West Salem or the tie to downtown.
Where does your money come from, the money to do all these projects?
So similar, so it's this yellow area right behind you. Mm-hmm. So tax increment. So when it was established in 2001, you know, that property tax value pre-2001 kind of gets distributed throughout the tax jurisdictions, but post-2001, any increase remains in the district for funding. So similar to downtown and every other regional area. So, and our department helps kind of manage those resources. We have to be legally, you know, it's tied to blight and tied to state statute and the goals and objectives of our urban renewal plan. So that's where the advisory board is for you guys and our constant interaction with the agency, the city council. So they prioritize some of these things. We have to go through the budget process to, you know, say, you know, these are what we anticipate spending for projects, but that's where the money comes from. Very similar to all the other ones.
So is that area now primarily
zoned for mixed-use development?
Yeah, so as you get that west side, you can see it's a cluster of residential. That's out, that stays the same. As you follow toward really kind of areas around the Willamette, those are all either mixed-use corridor or the central business. The main central business district is the east side of Wallace, something like that, by Ross. Ross is zoned that now, so, you know, if there's an opportunity for them to feel like, you know, I don't know, structurally they could build on their building, but they could take it down. I mean, we're talking years. I mean, they've already made a big investment in their facilities, it is, but there's potential. I mean, it's right there next to the river, right next to the park. It's just a great space. We have a library over there, too. You know, it's not as robust, obviously, as the one here, but it's, you know, it's a quaint little community. And
that's great.
Yeah. So that's the main central business district. Along our two corridors, Edgewater, if you've been down to Edgewater, it's kind of like a main street feel. The second street is kind of like what could be like that opposite side of Edgewater, like a main street feel. Those both have a mixed use designation. So you could have like really along the river, you could have some opportunities.
Are those the Rain Suite and the Oregon Fruit, are those marketed right now, or are they?
Yeah, so Oregon Fruit is. They're kind of going between either, you know, the spaces are usable, so that I think they're trying to find another, but they're not having much success. We work with them, and that we're lucky to be able to get the Oregon Fruit building zoned to the mixed use. So, you know, if they are successful in getting a similar use to what they have, like food processor, they could occupy that space as a continued use.
Sure.
But there's also the opportunity, and the owner is weighing the option to maybe take it down and sell it and then have someone like buy it for a mixed use development eventually. So that's the benefit of getting ahead of that, is we were able to pull that so it's not part of that. They already have the challenge of, you know, seeing if there's environmental issues in that type of redevelopment. That, you know, this is having to go through the comp plan zone change is alleviated from that
That's great.
So I want to piggyback off of what Tori just said, because it's on my list to update you on. So when Jill was on the board, she asked staff to make sure to keep you mindful of the north downtown part of Riverfront. You know, everybody always says downtown, 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 but the future will be north downtown. And so we had that meeting where we talked about north downtown, and we have challenges with zoning in north downtown, similar to what Tori's talking about, the benefits of West Salem going through a review of zoning and making changes. So we just executed a contract and are going to have a consultant look at the zoning, all the overlays. There's a multitude of them in the north downtown area. Rebecca is excited,
aren't you,
to be on point for that project, but we're very excited because we will be taking a look and getting as familiar with north downtown with all the businesses and the properties similar to downtown, and so we'll keep you posted on that. But, you know, when you just mentioned that, I think that has made it easier for probably marketing and for properties to be considered for redevelopment. And again, we have some of those challenges in the north part of our urban renewal area. So I can take that off my list, but you just gave me a perfect segue. The other thing on my list was I brought to you a while back the recommendations that were coming out of the congestion task force. And so on Monday, Kristen and I were there, and there was an information report updating the council on the action items recommended by the congestion relief task force, and several of them deal with Wallace Marine Road, and people stood up, even though it's an information report, and wanted to make comment on that, so it's fascinating to me. But in here still is, you know, the closure of the crosswalk at Court and Front Street. That was one that came out as a recommendation. And then one that I guess touches more parking in Walls Marine Park. There's different parking lots there that you can park and walk across the historic bridge. And so, you know, they want to take a look at kind of what the users are there and the number of users and see if that, again, I think, you know, if you take a look at all of the different items that they're proposing. There's 17 of them. You know, some of them just deal with supporting, you know, bike, shuttle, walking versus actually making changes of some type to a street or road system. Even things like install travel time signs so that you have a sense of, you know, how long it's going to take you to get someplace. But anyway, let me know. I mean, sometimes when I see something like this, I'll have Anita put it in the packet. I've never really asked, are you interested in giving those types of things or not? I don't want to overload you with information, so let me know.
Well, where would, what's the process for those recommendations? Where do they go next, and how would they potentially be implemented? Or will, you know, if some of us care about some of those issues, where are the opportunities for us to chime in? Or
do you want to answer the
question? Yeah, I heard. So they're starting to roll some of these things in already to this year's budget that are more through the CFP, you know.
If they were already in the plan, then the recommendation's already in the plan.
Yeah, but some of the bigger ones, like whether
it's about closing Court
Street,
yeah.
That sort of
that's
thing. I don't know that there's currently scheduled any follow-up meetings for council to weigh in on that or what that next step is. So I need to follow up on that and get back to you. Because beyond the ones that are already sort of, you know, projects in the works in the CIP, I'm not sure they have the work session on it, but I'm not sure at what point it's coming back for any sort of vote on specific projects.
In my experience on something like this is when we get these assignments, they'll take a look at each one of these and turn around and provide information on the feasibility of it. You know, if you were going to construct Marine Drive Northwest in some different way, it would or would not be possible for these reasons, or would the here would be the impact. They typically have to kind of go one by one and would probably come back and feed better. And I think obviously the one for Wallace Marine Park on parking, they see it here and so they're asking for more information to inform if that's a, something that they want to pursue or not. But I think intuitively those things that are low-hanging fruit, don't cost a lot, wouldn't have a negative impact, but only benefits would be the ones that Kristen's talking about. They'll move those forward if they could.
Thank you.
Yes,
for Tori.
Thank you, Tori.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. All right. Chamber?
Yes. So the chamber, we will have company at the May meeting. Mr. Hopper and TJ are going to come. And I told them that we were going to have this meeting today and try to organize an event for them. Any key questions that you would like, why we have them here, to answer on your behalf. But again, the other piece of it is going to be sharing information about us, as far as similar to what we were just talking about. We would talk about, you know, how we have decided on the priorities that we have right now. We did the focus group meetings. We would say the streetscape, keeping the grants at as high as level as possible, came out of that, and housing is always a priority. We could give them information about how successful the grant program's been. We can then talk about, you also wear the hat of we could tell them what the parking district is, because he may not know that. That there's a specific fund for that, a little bit about how the business is, because I think that is something that would be important to him to know, that because it's a chamber, that in a parking district the businesses are the ones contributing to help maintain the parking resources that we have, and that when available, economic promotion, beautification, and areas. I'm curious as to what you thought, areas that we could collaborate, and that might be the where we go in the future with some of these. And then maybe by then we could talk about, we're looking at having this form at which, you know, one piece could be the challenges of, I don't know yet what the goal's going to be, but if one of those is to educate about the challenges of the parking fund, then we could talk about, you know, a little bit about that. Not that we are implementing paid parking right now, but that we would know to do that successfully, we would really want to have a relationship, a positive partnership with them. So.
I mean, my big question, the whole reason that, it's not even really, the reason that I think we should connect is just, it's making sure that the downtown businesses are involved and understand downtown. And I think that we just have to make sure that there's a cooperation between the city and the chamber. And that's kind of, I don't really have, at least for me, I don't really have like another question to ask that. It's more like, let's start implementing a relationship. That was my kind of.
So again, I guess what I want to check in on, does that sound like from our point, the things that you would like for me to share with them? Those on behalf of?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I.
The distinction between URA and the.
I will organize that.
The issues that the parking fund has.
Okay.
And then maybe touching on the, also the good things we've done, you know,
okay.
The benefits that businesses are receiving.
Okay.
From the.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like creating it before we actually do the forum. It's like, cool. Yes, we're already doing it. That's
yeah.
Good.
So let's go back to, you know, what questions would we ask them? I mean, one of the things that we could ask is for them to do similar to what we'll be doing, for them to go over their goals, their priorities, kind of what's happening with the chamber. So, I mean, that would be easy, I would think. He's probably mm-hmm. out marketing, doing what they are.
Mm-hmm.
If there's anything specific, you know, I don't know how the chamber works with respect to downtown, different than any other part of the city. I mean, maybe we could ask that question. If we have something that could be, what's the word, political, I don't know if that's the right word, but something like paid parking, something, anything that they might take a position on, how would be the best way to work with them on something like that? I have no idea, you know,
yeah.
Would we start, what would they need from us, or how would that work? I'm leaving
yeah.
it here.
Yeah.
Well, no, help me out. I'm dying, but I don't really know how
to
do that.
I'm just agreeing with you in that perspective. It says, does the chamber have any particular stances on, say, parking in downtown, or a stance on where they perceive funds should be spent within the URA, or the Riverfront Downtown
okay.
URA? I'm sure they all have different opinions, just like we do. And, you know, they always probably are eyeballing, you know, there's bonding capacity that's coming available, and perhaps they have a perspective on a direction that it should be pursued, that they haven't already articulated. Maybe they've already articulated it, we just weren't listening again. Then there's an opportunity
okay.
to rearticulate it.
Well, Tom's doing leadership for him, and he's an excellent salesman. So I'd be really curious as to what, give us your priorities over the next, give us 3 year priorities over the next 3 years, and then let's see if we can't build a meld and improve our effectiveness for both groups.
Yeah. Improve effectiveness, I like that.
Okay,
yeah,
anything else?
I like your question about, I mean, it's a real basic question of when we have a given issue that we think might be contentious or political, how would you like us to engage you, or how could we best engage you to just get your input before we, you know,
right.
step in it.
We understand.
Or at least we know going into it
yeah,
that there is a potential conflict
right.
between the two organizations.
Or,
exactly.
you know, if there's
yeah.
ill, you know,
exactly.
It's like, well, just converse.
Oh, you didn't. You figured you would have loved us.
Yeah.
Like, we got no idea.
We're so surprised that you actually hate it. Not surprised. Yeah, I think it's just like a, I think that, I mean, this is the first time that we're having a conversation with them, right?
I have been here 15 years, never had the chamber in this conversation.
It's opening lines.
I think it's great.
Because it seems like we're going to do show and tell. They need to do show and tell.
Yeah, right? Like, we're just like, and then we can be like, so what do we do together?
So this is good. I don't have a lot of questions here, so this should be very manageable, but I do like the thought that we just give them an opportunity to say whatever they want to say about, or share with us about what they're doing and where they're coming from. Not just, here's these questions, come over us.
Right.
I want them to feel that, you know, they can use the opportunity for whatever purpose they would like to do.
Yeah, new relationship, figuring out how we can help each other.
Thank you so much.
Downtown streetscape.
Woo-hoo!
I'm doing something a little different this time. I made you.
You just pass it down?
Does it look like this?
Thank you.
I made my own board. I made my own book already.
Thank you. Oh, look at you.
I thought about printing all that, and I thought, oh, I don't think so.
Spiral bound. That's pretty expensive.
Oh, that I don't care. I just need the date of when it's approved. That way I don't have to lose track of it.
It's so much better.
Okay, so instead of a PowerPoint, because I wasn't sure if we were going to have time or not, I told Rebecca I would hand these out and she can guide you to the pages. So we're going to do, she's going to walk you through it, and then at the end we'll talk about kind of where we are and some stuff.
Exactly. So I will be reading this word for word.
Thank you.
I'm actually going to flip you all immediately to page 41 to kind of start, give you a little bit of context. Most of you are pretty familiar with what we've been working on, but again, feel free to chime in if you have any questions. So streetscape, up on page 40, the streetscape framework, this is our area, our boundary zone, our study area, which we've gone over before. Divided them up between Promenade, Civic, Urban, Parkway, and Front Street. Those circles there, as you can see in the key, are our alley entrances. But these are all very different types of streets, so the consultant went through and established different design concepts similar, but they all are a little bit varying depending on the color, if they're Promenade or Civic or Urban, etc. So the sidewalk table widths, and just to reiterate again, this is the streetscape design concepts, but we are not focusing on the street. This is simply the sidewalk, the property line to the street. Just want to throw that out there again. So, and we're not doing alleys. Just want to throw that out there also. So the sidewalks width table, as you can see, this is a really good graphic because it shows what we're establishing as a frontage zone versus a pedestrian zone. Do you want to walk through too and look at it? Yeah. Versus the pedestrian zone versus the furnishing. Well, we'll have sidewalk cafes, planting zones, bike racks, that sort of thing. So the sidewalk, the pedestrian zone is the priority here. That's a fixed width. On Promenade, you'll always have at least 9 feet. Not guaranteed that on all of the blocks on Promenade Street, for example, that blue one on page 40, not all of those are gonna have 40 or 4 feet of a frontage zone or 5 feet of a furnishing zone. So those could be changed. Those are all adjustable. Okay. So just wanted to reiterate that. There's not any questions. So then
we'll, do you know which spots would have, okay.
We do. We have that already. We just didn't include it in this, but we do have a block by block face of what that would look like. Yep. So to kind of bump back up to the beginning, so that's just a little bit of an overview. I'll walk you very quickly through. Sherry, how in depth do you all need? Do you want to just
as fast as you talk?
As fast as I talk. So we all know why the plan is organized. If not, feel free to stop me at any point in time. I'm on page 7 now. The benefits of streetscape, which we've all gone through as well. how this was established, the unique character of Salem and our identity. On page 9, you know, just showing some artwork, some different street furnitures. On page 10, our existing conditions, kind of like where this all kind of popped up from. We were having issues with our the maintenance of the sidewalks. A lot of the tiles are popping off. And what does that look like? We have some vacant lots downtown. So they've done an existing conditions report. Then on page 12, we went through the public process, as you all have been very aware of. This is, I've been here for almost a year and a half, and that was the first project that I was, first meeting that I sat in on. So it's been a year and a half, even just on my end, and I know what happened before that. So there was a lot of public process that went through. We had meetings and other opportunities, open houses, presentations. So that's all on page 13. We established kind of what the priorities would be and what the message from the community wanted to be. So with the consultant's work, they came up with these design concepts. So flip you over to page 19 through this booklet. And again, feel free to stop me. So we had these guiding recommendations. We had how we knit together downtown, how can we celebrate the landscape and brighten downtown, how we can integrate wayfinding and art, and establishing and supporting social spaces. So these were the input that we continue to get from our stakeholders and from community members. So the recently completed streetscape, as you can see, this is right out on page 19. This is right outside of Ritter's. This is the current and then what the future could potentially look like. And they have a little arrow pointing over to that. But that's just where have there been recent improvements to our streetscape that are not those mosaic tiles, essentially? And you can see the pink zones on here are where those improvements are. So we're taking that into consideration because there was a little bit of feedback saying, well, gosh, it looks like Ritter's already did a streetscape improvement. What does that look like in terms of our design plan?
They did flat work.
Flat work. So then on page 20 is the design elements. We really want to focus on the trees, and having low maintenance plants, plants that are going to not need as much watering. We also want to have consistency in terms of pedestrian light poles, consistency in the tree layout. You know, our trees are, we have 7 on some blocks, we have 9 on some blocks, we have none. So making that look consistent. We also really, really want to make sure that when we do pop the top off, per se, when we take the top off of the sidewalk, we're putting in the conduit so we can have twinkle lights in the trees potentially in the future. We can have drip line systems on our ped poles. So when we have those flower baskets, it's not as expensive to have the water. We can actually water them. We also want to make sure that we're putting in enough conduit for Wi-Fi, you know, electrical vehicle charging stations, anything we could possibly think of into the future. We want to have that ready. And we also want to make sure that we have the adequate spacing for our trees. Our tree wells are popping up, and we want to make sure that they can grow appropriately. So having those consistent design elements is the main focus of this. And you're going to notice in this plan that we haven't nailed down exactly what the street furniture looks like or what do the bike racks look like. We're going to be kind of doing a pilot project on what some, maybe some potential cubes, some single seating could be. We don't want to encourage sleeping or it's appropriate, maybe.
I would say
spreading out.
I would say we would be doing benches. I think you'll see more individual.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure what that's going to look like, but you know, 2 or 3 of those together where you can, you know, sit across from each other, mm-hmm, and talk. We're going to take very seriously. If I die, somebody will take very seriously. We'll buy something, stick it out, and test it for how hot it's going to get if you sit on it, how easy it is to clean. I mean, I think we have this opportunity to really do some things differently than maybe that's been done in the past. We wouldn't go and put everything in and then pick up the pieces for, I wish we would never use that trash receptacle design, or I wish we wouldn't have used any of that. I think we're going to try to find some furniture to try in different spaces in downtown soon,
even if it's not where a streetscape's done, just to see what that might look like and how that might be. And so we don't have to wait to test some things out if that's possible. I'm not sure we'll have to build procurement, but we would like to do that. We would really like to try some different furnishings and see which one might work in a multitude of locations. But that's my fantasy wish.
And we're already learning what other communities, you know, have liked and not liked. I can tell you right now what I would do differently about trash receptacles. I'm sure Cherie would agree. So there's already items that we know that we would change. And there could be some potential for example, Liberty Street potentially has different street furniture than the other streets to kind of make that pop, since that is the promenade. But we're exploring all of that. So that's why you're not going to see those. A lot of people, you know, flip over and they want to see the exact street furniture designs. Exactly. So
can I ask you a question? Mm-hmm. The only or comment, just from looking, like I'm just like on page 25.
Yeah.
Is that where we are?
You jumped ahead.
I did. I'm sorry. I was just playing. But the idea of having chairs or tables next to the parking. I know that I've been at various restaurants or have, you know, brought people to things that are like, I don't want to sit outside because of the cars going by. So is there more of a plan of like having like a barrier between the cars or this idea of having that table next to the cars?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I don't know if that would be appropriate. They have to get out of their cars and then get onto the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
So
I
having
the zone there, the plan is that area is designated as a furnishing zone, and then up against the building is the other furnishing zone, and then it's up to the business that's there.
Yeah.
They might put a screen wall, they might not, okay. It's not have any chairs.
So
right
that's
there may not be even any tables there. It's
well,
just that
Liberty's a perfect example. If you start at Liberty Plaza, you have New York pizza tables are all out
mm-hmm.
right.
by the curb.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If you're up by Archive, he's got his tables.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
oh,
the building.
Yep.
Same with Ritter's.
Right.
So the main thing to take from this is on every sidewalk you would have 6 feet of 3x3 tiles for you to walk down.
Yeah. So
always. You
yeah,
have
no,
this
no.
consistent look and feel.
Absolutely.
Depending on the width, because they're not all the same,
right.
you're going to have 1x3s of a little bit darker
mm-hmm.
color
yep.
out closer to the curb. So you, it's almost like yellow, you know, you have a defined area. So you have you have flexibility, because some sidewalks, like look at where GovCup is, you have
right.
no space, because
mm-hmm.
we're not widening the sidewalks,
right.
but we're going to make it look consistent and probably wider when you define that walking
right.
area. Then whatever they have space to do and keep that open for walking,
mm-hmm.
they will. But then you'll have that consistent larger tree well
mm-hmm.
that will add that softening that
yeah.
we all want.
Exactly.
Because right now there is no greenery.
Yeah.
You're just next
and
to
I'm looking at Maria because she gets to be in that floral environment all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that
right.
at all. So something to soften it up.
Yeah, because like the biggest one is like Wild Pear. It's like we've got the you know this beautiful restaurant, and then you can go sit outside, and it's just right next to all the cars going by and all that
yeah.
stuff. So it's just I just want to make sure that is still a priority that we have like that we're kind of separating ourselves from the street with this barrier,
well,
with the trees, with the
again, how furniture is placed. What you know what I'm saying?
No, I know, but not just. I understand that the furniture is going to be placed however businesses want to do it. I'm just saying that the tree grade, like all of that stuff, is like that. It's going to be. I think that we're. It's making sense. That yes, it's going to be a separate area.
And I think when you add those tree wells with how lush,
mm-hmm.
this will look. It will feel. It will feel very separate.
Right.
If that's visually, it's going
to
feel different. Right now, I think if I'm hearing you right, Wild Pear, if you just kind of feel like they're out in their no man's land.
Yeah.
There's not even a tree there.
Right.
They're
yeah.
not.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that's
having that
like,
tree well might It feels more cozy too, so. So, page 25, that's Promenade, that's Liberty Street. And then Civic, of course, is Court and State Street, so that could potentially look at a little bit differently. Again, always having the furnishing planting zone, always having the pedestrian zone and the frontage zone. These widths on Civic are very different. So we also have consistent ped poles, tree wells, bike racks. There'll be actual area for sandwich board signs. And then if you flip over to page 28, the urban streetscape, this is the one, this is the most common type of street that we have here. Again, varying. This one also has a few of our alley entrances too, which we'll flip over to that as well. But this is just, I'm zipping through this, but if you have any questions about sidewalk widths or what we plan on doing with this area, let us know. Commercial Street is an urban streetscape, and this would probably be the most, this would be our first phase of our streetscape to kind of Coe's area, Court.
Yes, if we're working with Public Works, we would like to, because of the level of investment that's going in there, at the former McMahon site and up at the Marion Auto Garage, our goal is to try to have those areas focused on first between front and commercial, putting in the headlights, putting in the streetscape design. Again, the goal would be both sides if possible, because that way you have a consistent look and feel. And then of course with the Central Salem Mobility Study, we've had in our budget and as a project to finish the two lane of State. So the goal would be, if there's any way possible to have that done at the same time, we're hoping to do that. So that would be because of its relationship with the park and the park entrance. A little bit different there than if we started someplace else. We get different benefits there because of all the people coming across. So the goal would be front to commercial on State Street, and then down. We wouldn't be able to afford any more than that down the west side of commercial down to Ferry, where the Holman Hotel is proposed to be built.
Cool.
Fingers crossed on that.
Exactly. Page 3031 is the Parkway streetscape. That's kind of our perimeter, northeast perimeter. This would call for, if you notice down in the diagram on page 31, there's just a lot more greenery, a lot more opportunities for plantings and for landscape. And hopefully the planters along the side of the building, those would be owned by the property owners, and they would care for them and maintain them and really help add the lushness to that street. Front Street, if you want to flip over to page 32 and 33, is denoted in the orange. Again, with the furnishing zones, the pedestrian zone and the frontage zone as well. Now, 34, 35 is our alley entrances. There is a lot of opportunity for our alley entrances and working on taking, we wouldn't be taking away any parking, but those triangle spots, if you can see on page 35 where the greenery is, those, it's just dead space currently. So how do we kind of reconfigure that to maybe add some trees, add some plantings, changing the crosswalk? We've been, you know, the alley naming project that's been Salem Main Street Association has been working on and creating. If you can see on the diagram there, there's inside of the brickwork where the people are standing or where the gentleman with the bike is, there is opportunity to maybe add some stenciling or some sort of name if the historic name has been identified. So that's a lot of opportunity there in alley entrances. And then I'm just gonna bump you to page 38. So, Vincenzo, you had talked about, do we know what the sidewalk widths are? This is a good example. We have a whole map. Maybe it's even in here. No. We have, if you see the varying sidewalk widths, you could actually find your property or find anyone's property and say, ooh, what does their block place look like? And, you know, the green is 13 to 14 feet. So we do have an entire map for all of that we've identified. Yep. And then what that looks like. 12 feet or less, 13 to 14 feet, or 15 feet or more. They're all very different, which was interesting to find out. And then I've already showed you page 40 and 41. And then 42 and 43 are our landscape guidelines. You know, we have a prescribed list of trees that the city has approved, and we have plantings that we have identified as well to be consistent, that we will be drought, more drought resistant than it is our goal. We don't want to have to maintain and water them.
And dirty trees.
Dirty tree, yeah, no ginkgo biloba, yeah, yeah.
It's on the list,
or it's on the list.
I know it is, but it's there's the is it the female one or the male one that smells?
Oh, I don't know, but I thought no more ginkgo.
I know
ginkgos are filthy.
We had a discussion with this, and it's the male or female one will not, but whichever one produces that smelly fruit will not be utilized. And then 44 and 45 are again the tree guidelines. This 45 is an example of kind of what this could potentially look like. You'll see the individual seatings, those cubes there where people are sitting, along with the new plantings, the trees, the bulb outs, and how we've kind of implemented the landscape into those. Page 46 and 47 is just going into tree placement, because that was a big deal. Where do we put these trees, and how do we make that look consistent? What do the tree wells look like? We are making them. Currently now they're more of a square shaped, and we'll be moving to more of a rectangle so the trees can be guided and their roots can kind of grow outwards instead of they were. Yeah, exactly. So tree placement was taken into consideration highly. And then page 48 and 49, you know, how did we get to what concrete we chose? And so this is the concrete pattern that we chose to delineate the different zones with your eyes. And then other streetscape elements, you know, talking about murals and art pedestals,
hopefully items like that. Pedestal.
What's that?
Hopefully art on the pedestal.
Art on the pedestal, yep. And then page 50-51 is just implementations, things to consider. 52 and 53 is, you know, if we wanted to make the alley entrance there on Chemeketa across from Salem Center, you know, what would that look like? This is an example of how we could kind of create a more lush and inviting entrance into that alley. Mm-hmm. Moving on to page 54 and 55 is Civic, which, and I believe, are the trees in? Is everything done with 245 Court? I think it's
being used for staging.
It's looking great.
Part of it is, yeah.
Yeah. It's covered up.
If you all haven't.
They just don't have any, lights or furnishings,
okay,
or bike racks, but they have the streetscapes and the landscaping.
You'll see an example.
It's really great. It looks beautiful. It looks really nice. So they were gracious enough to, even before this was approved, to kind of implement those designs, which is really awesome, because it is a great example of what the rest of downtown could look like. So that's. Keep moving on, page 56 and 57. We're just talking more about the corners, what those bulb outs could look like, if we're gonna be adding any, you can't put plants and benches and things, you know, there's a line of sight issue on these bulb outs. I would have loved to have seen a mini park there, but it's not how that works, right? So, but what we'll be doing with those bulb outs, and then future projects, if you wanna move to page 58 and 59, mid-block landscape areas, and then to kind of understand what a mid-block looks like, and Ed, I'm probably catering this a little bit more to you. I don't know if you've seen these before, but page 60 and 61. 60 is Commercial Street looking south, and if we took off a parking spot and made that a mid-block landscape area, what could that look like? It really softens it.
More better.
Exactly. So, and we are moving. Should I talk about mid-block pilot?
I think during the midst of this process, I know it's Jesse, he's not here anymore, but the mid-block was something that came up early on. It serves multiple purposes. One, people will slow down a little bit if you have something like that, even though it isn't a road diet type of thing, because we're not changing any lanes, but just visually, if you look at those two pictures, 60, 61, you know, the removal of a parking space on both sides does change the look and feel significantly. So when the plan was being developed, I kind of went, I did go kind of door to door on Liberty Street in an area that we thought we would be doing this to kind of test what the business is. Do not even think about taking that parking space. I remember, where's Jesse when you need him? He was like, you gotta be kidding me. And so, yeah, okay. So instead of it being something that we said we were gonna do, we didn't want to lose the idea, but we didn't want to not be able to get the plan through.
Right.
So we put it in the back like it is right now as something that if and when there becomes an environment that's more supportive of that, we have this idea. What we are going to be doing is we're going to just 30 days create one of these, a little mid-block thing, in a couple of locations. Those locations that we have some openness to take the parking spot off for 30 days. So we have a landscaping company that's gonna come in and give us this look, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed that I do not lose all those plants in other spots in downtown. Hopefully he'll put so many rocks in it that you couldn't move it if your life depended on it. So I don't know exactly how we're gonna do the surveying, but we would really like to get the public's input on, what do you think about this? Do you like this? Let us know. There'll probably be something right there at the locations that say, you know, text and let us know if you really think this is amazing, or if you don't like it, you just get what we wanna know it. Because we don't wanna give up on what we think the benefit of this, but we need to test the waters.
When are they, when is the date, or when is the idea of that being put up?
May 5th through June 3rd.
Oh, okay, wow, let that happen.
Very quick.
So we'll let you know when it's up.
Okay, great.
Excellent.
We tried it, we tried this like earlier, how long ago, but we didn't get one person to respond to our—
6 months ago we tried.
Our solicitation.
Oh, okay.
We didn't get anybody.
And then we're like, oh, I think the trees are all dead by now.
So, yeah, so then we put it on the back burner and thought we would try it again. So,
and there will be two site locations. They'll be right out here because
we're okay with it.
Yeah, you know what?
Yes.
We're asking other businesses to take away parking. We'll take away our parking.
You'll go and water those trees.
Exactly. And I can keep an eye on it. So, so that's good. And they'll be, they're across the street from each other, just like this. So, there'll be two parking spaces out here and then across the street in front of UGM. And then we're also gonna go to a highly visible area. Commercial is highly visible as well, but Liberty Street. So we'll be going, and luckily we chose this block specifically because we only had to take away one parking space because of the parallel, instead of the angled parking on here, we have to take away two. So it'll be on Liberty Street in front of, is it more near, straight from New York Pizza is kind of where one is. And then Rapid Refill. So keep an eye out for those. Those will be going up over the weekend, but of May 5th weekend. Yeah. So. And let us know if you're walking up and down, and when we're obviously out every day, but if you see any issues or, I don't know, a tree missing or something, let us know. And then page 62, 63, other future projects for consideration. Obviously the crossing on Front Street into the park or into downtown, whichever way you're coming from, is a project for future consideration. We've also are dabbling with the idea of some festival streets, what that could look like. Page 50 or 64, parklets. Really going with the taking away the parking.
Charles wants
I think they're amazing. So
yeah,
this would be something that would be also up for future consideration that I think would be a great idea. 66 and 67 is just our sidewalk condition analysis, downtown character areas. 67 was established from— that map was at our focus groups and our community meetings on what they thought the heart of downtown was, or where it was. 68 and 69 is lighting analysis. Where is there our pedestrian light poles? And we all know with our banner issue that we don't have pedestrian poles on every single block, and they're not consistent. So that was done. How 69 is how cool it would be if we could just light up all of our trees with twinkle lights. And then 70 and 71 is our tree canopy analysis to kind of find those gaps as well. So
what is when you say the sidewalk lighting analysis and we see this huge commercial and center
68
it's so much great. Does that mean that we don't have lights currently, or is that that's electrical?
It's not lighting up.
It's insufficient.
Insufficient electricity, or like we don't have.
We don't have them. Yeah, not like we should probably like up our voltage.
Right.
Like we don't have.
It's like we don't have lights.
There's
in
not.
This
no.
Whole area.
And Court Street is the same. Across the street from 245 Court, where
music.
There's no. There's none.
There's not one.
We went to go put banners up, but
well, there was.
And it's always
the bank. And
yeah.
And that's the worst part because it's next to. You know, and
the
night deposit, which is already dark and its own seedy little thing.
No comment.
But exactly, yeah, and we didn't, you know, that was all established on what, you don't think about that too, and I'm more aware of it because of having to have our consultant go put banners up on poles that don't exist, how you do that,
right.
You know,
right.
So, exactly. So that was the overview of this, and this has been approved, so,
Nice presentation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And the execution timeline is the next 30 years.
Make sure you cross off the gingos, and that will cool.
So we just have a couple
good job.
Minutes.
Do you want this back, or it's just ours?
Oh, that's a good, is Shariardi's theirs, or do you?
No, that's yours.
Yours,
okay.
It's yours.
Yours
is
yours.
Yours to share with all your customers.
Yeah, well, maybe they're sharing different presentations.
I have a whole bunch of stuff just really quickly. So I'm going to pass this out. There's street closures due to march and rally next week. So you probably don't know about it. But
we can go march and rally?
Yeah, I guess
What's that?
So many rallies.
The other thing is that in your package you usually get, what is this called? Parks Salem Monthly Report. Going forward, as you know, we have the police station and the new lot. To keep you informed on how that is going, we will add new lot information there.
Have you started yet?
It has started. We're making like $300 a day in that lot.
29 spaces?
So, yeah, 30.
So 31. Basically, $3.
This is behind Ritter's, right?
$10 a space.
Yes, it is. Well, again, you can. It's 10 hour, so a maximum you would make is $15, but I asked at average time is a little over 2 hours, which is the same as on the street. But again, what's amazing to me is that it's full and there's free on the street.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, again, this is kind of like the mid-block to me. We have this now kind of as a test area. The other thing that's interesting about this one is that it's pay-by-plate, which is really easier for enforcement than receiving on the dash. So in that particular lot, when you go up to buy parking time, you put in your license plate. You don't have to put a receipt anywhere, it's tracked by that. Versus if you're over by the Capitol Mall, in Portland today, you put it in your Visa and you get a receipt and you put it in your on your side door. The issue with the way our parking is, if you don't put it in the side door and say that we put it up on the dash and for enforcement, it's just a nightmare. Anyway, so I just wanted you to know you're going to be seeing that on your Park Salem monthly thing.
Great.
As I just want to keep you up to date on how that's working. That's like a mid block. I'm going to set up a tour for 245 to go through the apartment. Is more than 50% leased, which is amazing, but I want to get in there before all the units are leased up, and it's going quickly, and I'm hoping that there'll be one. So I wanted to see, we have a pretty big agenda for May, and we have company coming. How many might want to do it after our meeting if we couldn't get to it during our meeting?
I won't be there on the 23rd.
Will we get a discount if we want to rent one because we helped them make it happen?
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
okay,
that's
good.
Totally
that's helpful. Thank you. I talked to you about the North
downtown, talked to you about the congestion. I think the only other thing that I wanted to share with you was that the general manager of the convention center approached the city a while back, indicating that based on everything they knew about the market and competition that and their own attendance and usage, that they were interested in expansion, because where the sculpture garden is, that is the expansion area for the convention center. And so on Monday night I went and got approval to do a benefit cost analysis.
Oh, cool.
Because as you know, that facility is ours.
Mm-hmm.
And what that analysis would do would indicate if we do need to have more space, what type of space would we need to have, our market position, something that would inform would it be feasible to do it or not. So I just want you to know that that is, I just got approval, so I don't have control from anybody yet, but
right,
that was something that we're looking at.
Cool.
Where would you put all that sculpture?
Huh?
Where would all that artwork go?
All right.
Question. So what do we know?
Go ahead.
So what do we know about the old Nordstrom? Did somebody buy it?
They're doing their due diligence. I can tell you that they're having many, many meetings with different departments of the city.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks very promising, because nobody else has had anywhere near these kinds of meetings about these types of issues with that building. So I'm very, very hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're meeting with people every single week. So.
So is it going to stay retail, or is it going to be a mix kind of
thing?
It'll
be mixed.
Okay.
It'll be mixed.
All right. Well, it's past 1:30. Meeting adjourned. And
okay.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for
you want to keep talking about Nordstrom, you can.